Hi, and welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I am Clayton Pixton. Something like that. Should I do it over? No. Hi, and welcome here to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton, and we are going to have a great time today delving in to the intricacies of self-deception and anxiety and depression and exciting topics like that. Just so current. Is it weird to anybody else that we have this appetite for what's current and news and new and but there's all this great content that's been done before, but we don't seem to want it so much as what's like today, this week, this minute, I don't know. Well, welcome here, guys. Hope you're enjoying this journey with me. I'm certainly enjoying it. We're going to get into some pretty interesting stuff today and make some progress in the right direction toward understanding psychology along a route that I don't really see being taken by anybody else, but one that to me is the obvious way to go. Yeah. So we jump right in. One thing that's killing me is this question of whether the psychological part happens first or the physiological stuff. And it seems like one of those questions that is fraught with philosophical difficulty. It's one of the questions to me that is really deceiving because it's kind of asking the wrong question. Like it's happening both at the same time. Let me explain what I mean, I guess. So if the psychology happens first, then there's the lie that we're worthless, right? Depression, and then the rest happens as a chain reaction to that lie, including the physiology with having depression and it, you know, becoming a part of your brain chemicals and your hormones and whatever else is, whatever other physiological aspects are, right? So there's that direction coming from the lie that you're worthless through to all the other symptoms that somebody gets when they have depression. Well, the question, I guess, in my mind is what if there are physiological things that can happen kind of first or be there, and then the lie happens after that? Does that even make sense? Does it make sense to go in that direction? I'm not sure. In a way, it doesn't make sense, but in another way, it seems too tidy, too easy to just say, well, the lie happens first, and then everything else follows, because I just don't want to be inaccurate, is the main thing. Okay, so plant that question in your mind and see what you think of it. We're going to proceed here with a couple other thoughts. I was thinking about the scriptures and how you never see in there any description of mental illness, okay, that I can find. Now, I know there are descriptions of, you know, people with afflictions of every kind. There's descriptions of people with infirmities, okay? And it doesn't say what all the infirmities is, but all the ones that it does describe are either, you know, physical, definitely physical infirmities, lame, that means you can't walk, blind, deaf, leprous, you know, the woman with a issue of blood, things like that that I'm thinking of. But where are the descriptions of people with mental illness or who struggle with depression and anxiety? Are there no people back then who that happened to? That doesn't seem to make sense to me. But I don't know. So I'm thinking in the scriptures, you have this kind of lack, from my perspective, my maybe ignorant, but it's my perspective. There's this real lack of a description of, you know, something that's very, very common today that many of us have experience with. And it seems a little odd. If these scriptures were meant for our day, well, our day is filled with this phenomenon of anxiety and depression and stuff like this. And I've heard it said that you teach to the rule, not to the exception. But it seems to me like the exception, what maybe used to be an exception, you know, somebody being depressed or anxious, is now more than an exception. It's a whole subset of people. It's a whole big, significant group that needs to know what's going on. So I wish that there were more there to teach us, I guess. I'm not here to knock on the scriptures, you know, that's not my intent. I love the word of the Lord and I study it, you know, as much as I can. I try to daily. I know they're true. They're of the Lord. They are meant for our day, all that. I'm not knocking on the scriptures. I just think it's interesting and a little odd to me that they don't address that more directly, and maybe that teachings along those lines don't address that directly. The only thing I can think of that they really address, and the way that they address it, is that it's an infirmity, you know, it's something that people have that's not their fault that they struggle with. It's like a physical infirmity that maybe isn't your fault. Okay, maybe you did have an accident with a bandsaw and you weren't as careful as maybe you could have been. So maybe there's some personal responsibility in there, but probably not. And I feel like it's the same thing with, you know, depression and anxiety. And if someone were to ask me, well, what would you say to all these people? I would say, well, first of all, know that it's not your fault, unless, like the bandsaw example, you know, there could be somebody who's, you know, made some choices and, you know, that's affected it. But then everybody's going to think that they're the ones, because the self-guilt is a normal thing. That's a part of depression. So if you say that, everybody's going to think that. But the only accurate way to say it, I guess, is that most likely it's not anything to do with your choices. Are you following me? So that's the first thing I'd say. It's not your fault, and it's just like something else that you'd have to bear up under, some other affliction that you'd have to deal with all your life. Like, I know some people with physical ailments that they have to, you know, live a little differently. They have to adjust their lifestyle. They have to deal with it. And it takes time. It takes sacrifice. It's a pain. It's not fun. And you have to do things that some people don't have to do. But you have to, because that's the thing that you have to bear up under, right? Well, I feel like it's the same way with mental illness. Some of us are going to have that. And it's something that you're going to have to do whatever you can to bear up under. Now, next, what can I do to bear up under that, to use that term? And for that, I would say, well, go read the internet, okay, and see what they say to do about depression. See what the internet says to do about depression. It knows. Yeah, it's all over the place, and it's not going to be said in the exact same way, and it's going to emphasize different things a little more than others, and it might not apply to your case perfectly. And to apply to your case more perfectly, you could get a therapist and everything, and maybe you should. But read the internet, do what it says to do about depression, lifestyle changes, diet, exercise, going on a walk, you know, whether it's for exercise or not, just for your mental health. Tell yourself things that are contrary to the lies that you think. Whatever you have to tell yourself, I guess, that is believable to you and that is true, that will combat the lies that you're kind of experiencing. And if that isn't enough, then go to step B and probably seek professional help. And I can't believe I'm saying this stuff. And maybe take medication and stuff like that. Those are the things you can do to bear up under that affliction that you have. Well, what lies? Well, that brings us to what we're doing on this podcast. What lies? What should I think about myself? Well, religion has something to teach us here. True religion does, anyway. And that is that you are a precious child of Heavenly Father. He loves you with all his heart. You are of infinite worth to him. And things are going to work out in the end for you. Because what if you're actually, doing bad things? So regarding that, I would say there is such a thing as doing wrong. There is such a thing as doing wrong. And sometimes we do things we know we shouldn't. Sometimes we do things we didn't really know we shouldn't, but we do them, and then we learn later that we probably shouldn't have. And it's a learning process, and not all of us have the same light and knowledge that everybody else might have. But nevertheless, we do wrong all the time, actually. But we make wrong choices, but that's probably not the reason we're suffering from the things we're suffering from. Like I said, there are some people who are not careful and who chop their hand off with a bandsaw. And somebody might have warned them, and, you know, they probably know they're responsible, and they probably don't blame anybody for it. But that's going to be an odd case. Okay, am I going in the wrong direction here? Not in the wrong direction, just... Yeah, I kind of try to avoid the chord progressions that have 1, 5, minor 6, 4. It's a great chord progression, and all the variants of that, you know, different orders of that. It's great. It's just overused. That's all. If you listen to almost any pop song or country song, that's what you get. Nothing wrong with it. It's just a little overused. So I kind of consciously try to steer away from that, but I thought this sounded nice because that's exactly what that is. It's a... Let's see. I feel like I'm doing it in the wrong order now. I can't remember how I did this. Yeah. That song doesn't have a name. That's okay. It doesn't need one. It's probably just going to be on this podcast, and that'll be the end of it. It's not really a song anyway. It's just a little thing. Okay, how are we doing on the podcast? Let's do a little synopsis of what we've said so far and then continue and wrap up pretty quick here. So there seems to be a thing where there's a question in my mind about what happens first or whether it happens at the same time. And that's basically, well, the question as I posed it was, do you believe the lie and let the lie fester in you, and then all the symptoms of depression happen after that, including the physiological part, meaning the, you know, parts that affect your actual body? Or is it possible that the physiological part would happen first and then you would believe that lie kind of after? But either way, I believe that that lie is a part of it, okay? And this question of what happens first, to me, is related to the question of self-deception in general. The question of self-deception in general is, do you do the wrong thing? Do you go against the light that you have and then make up an excuse for it? Or do you come up with the excuse first, basically, before you even do anything wrong? You know what I mean? And I feel like that's one of those philosophical questions that we've talked about that, you know, is asking the wrong thing. It's going to seem like one of those is the answer. And the way you pose the question is it this or is it this? When really the answer is, well, it's neither of those. You're asking the question wrong, right? So with self-deception, are you doing the wrong thing first and excusing yourself for it later? Or are you excusing yourself first and then doing the wrong thing, maybe or maybe not, after that? And I've tried to lay this out in the frame of, well, you do the wrong thing first and then you come up with an excuse after, but it doesn't really work. It doesn't seem to work very well. Things don't fit into that tidy model, I guess. So, and Terry Warner would say this too. He would say, no, it happens at the same time. It's all one and the same kind of act. Going against the light, coming up with an excuse for doing so. And that excuse is the way that you think or the way that you feel, the way that you see things. So if that's true, that it's all one thing or that it doesn't matter what direction you go, then it could be that you kind of take on this way of seeing things, maybe in the absence of doing something wrong, just having pride maybe, or judging somebody, or is, you know, unless you want to call one of those the act, judging somebody and then thinking of them as less than after that in order to justify your judging them. But that is what judging is. See kind of where I'm going? It's all one blob. But it does seem kind of instructive to think about it, at least while you're learning these principles, think about it as two separate things. And then realize that, oh, it's really more like one thing. And I think there's power in that. And I think that's true, so you got to do what's true, right? Got to do what's true. So some synopsis, right? That got into a little lengthy explanation. But that's that concept. But I don't know exactly how to explain it as far as, you know, if that's the case, then, and if we were talking about, you know, the physiological aspects of depression as more the thing that happens later, well, that could happen before then. That could happen right away. Is that weird? Is that weird to anybody else that the physiology could happen first and then the lie that you're believing happens second? It's a little weird to me. A little weird, I'll admit. But you got to do what's true. Got to do what's right. Got to be accurate. So what can we say? And I think that's the most accurate thing. This is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon. Have a great day, guys. Bye.